Coming up this week on the Rock For Him podcast, we chat with the band Weapons of God about their new music and what comes up in the future. Stay tuned. Hello and welcome into the Rock For Him podcast. I am your host, Sanchez, and joining me today, my good friend, my brother in Christ, our number two man, Riker Levine. Bro,
how's it going, Jason?
Good. Have you recovered from the weekend yet?
I'm still exhausted, staying up till 1 a.m. Even though I am young, it still isn't super fun when I got to get up at 5 a.m. the next day, but we roll.
My goodness, bro. Not only did we get done with the concert, but then I got a flat tire on the way home, and my dogs woke me up at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I'm dying today.
That's what you get for having yippy dogs.
Anyways, joining us tonight is a band that had just released a brand new record, which I have not entirely listened to, but I've heard some of the songs off from it. We are talking with Weapons of God. Guys, how's it going? Oh, and lady, how's it going tonight?
What's up?
All right.
It's going well.
So tell us a little bit about yourselves, about the band.
We're a band.
That you are.
Next question.
And we rock for him.
That's going in the promo.
That is totally going in the promo. So, no, tell us about how the band came together and about the name and kind of familiarize us.
Well, the name of the band started with a song that I written called Weapons of God. And that pretty much came from the context from Ephesians 6:10-20 about the armor of God. So with that, you know, weapons of God, that could be the Bible, the message, the instruments, you know, the people, you know, the word. It's a weapon of its own. And about 2016, Leon came in the band. He joined the band. Then Ed followed in about 2018. Yeah. And then Jason Harmon, he's been with us now for about 2.5 years now. So that's pretty much how it's all came about through the years.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm reading on your website, the Weapons of God website, and obviously I saw on there a little bit about, you know, where you guys have been and what you guys have done. I also saw what you said about Ephesians 6:10-20, which is a great launch board verse for a band, for a metal band, rock band especially. You know, it's very cool and inspiring. And then I also noticed that down below, a verse, Isaiah 6:8, which is a verse that I had just recently read and just heard a mentor of mine preach a sermon on, but the verse saying, I heard a voice, the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. So it's obvious that you guys have a pretty dedicated mission. Tell us a little bit about that. Your mission as a band.
Well, the mission is, you know, we write these songs, and these songs have lyrics with messages, scriptures. People, what's going on in the world today? I mean, just trying to reach a lost people, a lost dying world, and people that are don't know Jesus, you know, and don't understand that, you know, this is what the mission is about through songs and lyrics and praying for people and praying with people.
So tell us a little bit about the first single off your new CD, Death of Me, because I got to tell you, the listeners of Rock for Him absolutely love this song. I don't think I've seen a song in recent memory that was released and on the very same week hit number one on the top 15.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that song and why do you think it resonates so much with the listeners?
It's got to be the drums for sure.
Yeah, it's probably. I don't know. The song itself, it was a riff that I had had for such a long time, even from one of my secular bands back in the day. And it was a song that just, we never done anything with it musically. It was just there. And through the years, you know, with Weapons of God, I brought it out every now and then. You know, we tinkered around with the tune and everything else. It just seemed like it just, I don't know, it just there never, nothing happened with it. And then finally one day I decided, okay, I'm going to do something with this song. I've had it too long. Let's make something of it. So originally, the song back in the day was called Death Warmed Over. And I won't go into what the lyrics were about because back in the day, my day, I lived a very dark life, and I won't go into the lyrics what it was about. But I felt like, you know, something kept drawing me to call it Death of Me. And to take this song and to do away with the original title and almost similar to Death Warmed Over, I thought, you know, this is a perfect song and example for, you know, dying to yourself, leaving your past behind. And this was one of those songs that was a past of mine. So what better way to bury it and relive it, to resurrect it to something new? Oh. So the riff has got a very, I don't know, it's been, I've heard Soundgarden, I've heard Texas Hippie, so.
I actually heard somebody tell me it sounded very Sabbath-y, which I liked. Sabbath, really? That was also after we watched the Farewell to Ozzy as well. So the guys and Paul and Brian, guys that I played music with back in the day, were like, it sounds really kind of Sabbath-y, which I liked.
Yeah.
So. I can hear that now that you say that. I can hear that.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily hear it. I know Steve, like he said, he'd played it. He'd play the riff here and there at rehearsal, and I kind of picked up on what he was playing. And he and I kind of jammed around on a couple parts of the song. But like he said, we never did anything with it. And he finished it up and sent us out the demo that he put together. And for me, it was it was a hit right from the get-go. I was like, yeah, this is a cool song. I really like the way this turned out. So it became part of the set.
Mm. You mentioned, Steve, a moment ago that, you know, how you didn't want to go too far into it just because, you know, you were talking about the song itself. But the main part of what this podcast is your music as a secondary, but who you guys are as people and where you're from as a primary. We want to know your testimonies, how you came to know Christ. And so the people listening to your music can kind of know where you guys came from. So if each of you guys wouldn't mind, I'd have to say, because there's a lot of you, be semi-brief, but also, you know, say what God lays on your heart. But if you guys could each give a quick testimony of where you guys came from, how you came to know Christ, and then obviously how that led into playing music.
So, yeah, I'll go first. I was pretty much raised up in church. My parents got saved when I was about 3 years old, probably somewhere around there. And they dragged me back and forth to church for a lot of years before I had any kind of say in the subject matter. And we went to a little Pentecostal church in Norwood, Ohio, called Trinity Pentecostal. And but when I got into my teen years, went to youth camps and whatnot, and I got saved at a youth camp, pretty much as far as like actually acknowledging it. But like so many do, as I got older, kind of veered away from the church life, and really, really got into music. And at that time was very into live bands, wanting to watch people play music from a pretty young age. And then up through high school, started playing guitar myself. I wasn't actually baptized until I was about 28 years old. It was kind of an odd situation because of the original pastor that I was in church with when I got saved ended up being the same guy that baptized me. So my parents went to that same church for a long time. Also my father was called to preach and began to travel around as an evangelist. And when I was much younger, he used to drag me around with him to visit family and friends, and got to hear my dad speak many, many times. He's a very powerful speaker, way less shy, I think, than I am when it comes to being on stage. So that's kind of just always been in my life. I've never had a point in my life where I did not believe that Jesus was who he said he was. And I think it's in my young days, junior high school through high school, I was into Christian rock, Christian heavy metal, because I could get away with listening to that at the house, where I couldn't get away with listening to some other things that I might have wanted to listen to at the time. And kind of always wanted to sort of be, in a Christian rock band. I wanted to be in a band, I knew. And even when I was in secular bands, myself and some of the other members that I were with would always kind of bring Christian ideas and Christian worldview into the music. And that's kind of, I was in the process of playing, kind of veering off a little bit probably here, but was in a process of playing in another band with a very close friend of mine. And he kind of brought me into this situation where he worked with Steve's brother, knew Steve had a band and needed a drummer. And he wanted me to go with him to try out for that band. And I was kind of shocked a little bit at first when we kind of actually joined the band. But at the same time, I felt like, God was kind of telling me, I'm not done with you yet. I can, even though you're older and even though you've been through all these other things, I can still use you in music. And I feel very much called to be a part of this band, to support this. And I'm very, very thankful, and I feel very, very blessed at this stage of my life to be able to travel around and play music, share the gospel, and share good music with people. So
thank you.
Love it. Who wants to go next?
Did you want the short version?
That was perfect. That was perfect.
Go for it, Edward.
Okay. Well, I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church for years, and we went to mass and all that. And as we got older, we kind of, like a lot of people do, just kind of fell away and drifted. And you get to the age where you're kind of sowing your wild oats and trying to figure out who you are as a person in life. Started playing in band, and in contrast with that, started playing in bands when I was a young fella, about 18 or 19 years old, and that kind of filled a lot of my time. But something really profound happened when I was like, I think I was like 26. We had some close friends that lived right around the corner from us, and we knew them well. We hung out with them and went to school with them. I mean, the whole nine yards. And sadly, the youngest daughter lost her life in a really nasty car wreck. And that, I don't know. Just for me, it was just kind of a kick in the teeth, because it's like, wow, life is really, really fragile, and you gotta capitalize on every minute. You gotta you got to take advantage of every moment that, that the Lord blesses you with. So I wanted to get more serious about it and go back into reading the Word and just trying to focus and do the best I could. And not only to be a Christian, but, you know, just to try to, you know, please God, you know, put Him first priority, which I haven't always done. I mean, I think all of us can pretty much attest to that. But with that has come, you know, shares of your good experiences, your bad experiences, and everything. And one of the blessings, without a doubt, has been the ability to play an instrument. I'll tell you, there was a few years, me and my wife have been together almost 30 years, okay? Well, early on, after we got married, I had kind of, like, burned out on music a little bit, it seemed like. I just didn't feel like playing, and she encouraged me. It's like, look, you got a gift. You need to get back and play. And so I said, okay, I'll go ahead and play, you know, twist my arm, you know. So I got back into playing bands, and then lo and behold, you know, I had known, you know, I knew Stephen Rochelle and Leon, you know, because I was in another band at the time, and, you know, I'd chit-chat with them every now and then. And then come to find out, you know, I said, hey, you guys need a bass player? And she's like, well, So...
Yes.
I hooked up with these guys, and it's been a fun adventure. I've been with these guys since 2018, if memory serves. So it's been a good ride. And to Leon's point, you know, hey, I'm an older guy too, but, you know, God's not done with me. You know, He's got things for me to do, and I feel privileged and honored to do this because, well, I mean, it doesn't get any better. I mean, you're doing something you love to do, and you're doing it for an awesome reason. You're serving God. I mean, how much better does it get? And I just feel like we're being blessed like crazy. And I'm just really, really thankful for it. And I just want to express my gratitude toward the guys in the band and Rochelle. I mean, she's a tireless worker. She does a lot. I mean, she is a true multitasker in every sense of the word. So, you know, God's just blessed us. That's all I can say. I mean, I just give the glory to God, and I just look forward to the future. I'm really confident we're going to see some really cool things opening up. Yeah. And one of the blessings is you gentlemen giving us this interview, and that's a blessing and a privilege in itself. So I just want to say thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's absolutely a privilege to be able to do this and to speak with you guys.
Jason, you want to go next?
Sure. So I know a lot of people with really dramatic, great testimonies that you just are shaking your head and like, wow, that's amazing. I don't have one of those. It's a good and a bad thing. But I became a Christian at a very young age. So, and through the years, you know, like Ed said, you know, I've had my ups and downs, things like that. But I always try to challenge my faith. I don't try to sit in this nice little bubble where I'm insulated from, opinions or thoughts that are different from mine. I actually prefer to explore those because I don't want to, my mindset is I don't want to be wrong. And, you know, especially whenever it comes to your eternal disposition. So just constantly throughout my life have been challenging my faith, and it's withstood the test of all those things. And, so I think in terms of music, I really wasn't involved with a lot of bands or anything. I just kind of played various instruments really as a hobby over the years. And I just enjoyed that. I was just happy playing other people's music. But then at some point, I think it's really when I got involved with a church plant years ago and offered to play on the praise team that I really started to take music a little bit more seriously. And since then, it's just been a great journey working with other musicians, being able to, excuse me, going beyond that, just, playing other people's things on a Sunday morning, for example, and getting into more of writing my own stuff. And as I've said many times before, I tend not to rate in terms of like a street corner preacher who's just fire and brimstone beating you over the head with Jesus. Everything is still from a Christian worldview, but I really have shied away from the listeners of whatever God's allow me to create, from feeling like I'm preaching at them and, convicting them and telling them that, they need to get right with Jesus, that kind of thing. I try to create things that really relate to current circumstances or that I think would relate to them personally. And that definitely comes through whenever we play live. It's not, the music's just a vehicle to be able to reach the folks that are in front of you whenever you're playing. So, being on stage and doing all that stuff is really fun, but really being able to connect with folks, regardless of what their background or their current situation is, that's really where the rubber meets the road for me. And I take a little bit of a different approach when it comes to being in a Christian band or whatever label you want to put on it. I tend to look at this or any other endeavor that I've been in is that whatever that entity is not necessarily Christian, non-Christian, secular, whatever. I look at it like if you're in a Christian band, it's technically just a band that is made up of other Christians. It's like you can't say a corporation's evil, in my opinion. It's the people that are part of the
Wrong.
corporation that, kind of provide that moral compass. So I know that that's not a very popular approach, but at least for me personally, that's how I compartmentalize things.
So kind of what I just in an effort to kind of understand what you're talking about, how would you that kind of mindset, how are you applying it to bands exactly? Or this band in particular? Just because I'm curious.
Yeah, so I think any entity that is created really doesn't necessarily have a moral compass per se. It's guided by the people that make it up or that are part of it. So all of us here are Christians and we're in a band. It's like trying to find out where that fine line is between hard rock and heavy metal, or just metal or whatever kind of genre. It's really difficult for me personally to put a label on something other than individuals. So, and also too, I've always looked at it like if you say that you are a Christian band or whatever kind of band, a country band, it doesn't really matter. You do that and you put that label on yourself to be able to kind of reach maybe a target audience. And I've always kind of pulled away from that a little bit because if I feel like you're labeling yourself as a Christian, whatever, that you tend to draw people and preach to the choir as opposed to the Jesus model of going out and finding where that need is. So if you are a quote Christian band and playing in a dive bar, for example, you're going where the need is. And it's not to say that Christians don't need Christian metal or whatever. But you just I tend to look at it like, what did Jesus do? He didn't just stay in the synagogue and preach. He actually laced up his shoes, went out to where the need was. So I think that I never wanted to have that perception that regardless of what entity I was a part of, if it was labeled Christian, that people were going to shy away from what we've got to offer and the ultimate message because they feel convicted in the very beginning and just say, well, I don't want any part of that Christian music because they're going to try to convert me. No. I mean, that's the ultimate goal, but the long and short of it is I just want to love on people and serve as an example of, you know, or an ambassador of Christ and what he has to offer. Because if you put up that initial barrier, it tends to be rather difficult to break that down. So does
sure.
that
so
help
you're
right
talk
there?
so yeah you're talking more about using God and the Bible more as a moral compass than human standards, human views, and human kind of creeds, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I think
yeah.
that's
Okay.
the core of what Weapons of God is, but it's the people that are part of Weapons of God and not necessarily the entity itself that provides that. So
And
at
of
the
course, the
core of all of
Spirit
us is the
working through
message.
you,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and that does make sense, and I think that's part of, and you know, Jason, we've talked about this many times. Part of the, you know, core belief and what we seek to do is rock for him is, you know, for us, we don't necessarily think that, you know, I don't think metal period is sinful. I think the metal community and classic metal music can be very sinful, and so we want to, I enjoy listening to metal, therefore I'm going to seek out metal that's more life-giving and beneficial to me as a Christian and to others. So yeah, totally see what you're saying.
Steve, you
sorry,
want
that
to
was longer than Leon's.
Sorry.
Bad.
You want to chime in here, Steve?
I'll make it quick. So I think I was about 12 years old. I was raised in church. So about 12 years old, I chose to be baptized and saved, my choice. And so through the years, you know, high school and marriage life and everything else, you know, just like some do, but maybe some don't. But I kind of veered off the going to church and, you know, being part of the church scene and everything else. Probably mid-90s, I got involved with dabbling around with some witchcraft, Ouija boards. Probably music I shouldn't have been listening to at the time. And then ghost hunting became my biggest passion. And just because, I don't know, I guess because I knew what God was capable of, I know what God can do. But I think there was a part of me that just wanted to know what the dark side was about a little more. And so I fell into that, and never having any no desire to worship the devil or anything like that. I never lost my faith in God. I still, you know, believed in God and prayed and everything else. But it was just that there was a time in my life where I was just so drawn into that. And then, you know, I was that person that believed in, you know, the ghosts lingering in people's homes with your grandmother, your child, or a lost loved one, or whatever it may be. I believed that at one time. But then it took me getting back into church and realizing that what I believed in was just demonic, was just evil, was just deceiving. And that's what that song we have on our first CD, Ghost, the song Ghost is about that. My testimony of when I was ghost hunting, and instead of hunting for evil ghosts, I should have been hunting for the Holy Spirit. So God brought me back around, and next thing you know, I'm playing in a praise and worship team at church. Started writing Christian metal songs and music and everything else. And I mean, my Stryper, when I first heard Stryper in 86, even when I was in church when I was a kid, I was like, I would love, hopefully one day, to be able to start a Christian rock band. It took me a while, but here we are,
You're there. And Steve, I just got to tell you, my very first podcast I ever did was a ghost hunting podcast. Like, I was part of a group that we went out and we ghost hunted. So I completely get where you're coming from. Like, I didn't know what I was getting myself into until I started attending church. And I sat down with my pastor and I told him what I was doing. And he was like, "All right." And he literally laid out his Bible and just started flipping. I was like, "Okay, read this. Okay, read this. Okay, read this." And I was just like, "Oh, all right, I'm done." And yeah, but that was my very first podcast show that, I mean, it was before it was called podcast. It was like a webcast is what we
Oh,
called
wow.
it.
That's cool.
So it was that long ago, like almost
Wow.
20 years ago. Yeah, it's so I get what you were saying, and I can identify with you quite a bit. And hey, really quick, we have a intruder in our podcast here. Christina from Crimson Overtone, what's going on?
Hi.
Hi, Christina.
Hello. Evan is not feeling well today, so unfortunately you're stuck with me. But I'm not great at random thoughts, but I have noticed, listen, you guys are awesome, rock for him, and you come up with really great questions, but just I've not seen a podcast yet where anybody's really been asking the important questions, so I needed to come in and do it. So I
Okay.
need to know, what is your favorite dinosaur? It's very important. Mine's a Carnotaurus, and I would really like to know what yours is.
Right, so we just go around in a circle. I'll tell our favorite dinosaurs.
Mine's a T-Rex. Like, I like T-Rexes. Short, stubby arms, like me.
Mine, ever since I was a little kid, always loved Ankylosauruses, the one with the big maces for
Oh,
tails.
yeah.
Ever since I watched Ice Age: Dawn of the Dinosaurs, they were my absolute favorite. So,
I'd have to say Triceratops. The two horns and then the horn on his nose. Yeah.
yes, sir.
Yep. For
And
me,
so,
it's always been pterodactyl, death from above.
death from above.
it's so hard to pick a favorite. There's so many, such a variety. Of what we know. So I guess I had to go with, since just keep from doubling up, we'll say Velociraptor.
Yes. Oh, I should have
Nice.
said that.
I
I don't know.
I
I'd
like
have
to
to say.
run with a pack, so. I
would have to say the Raptors.
Right on, Steve. Know where it's at.
Nice.
Good answers.
Thank you very much for sharing and for humoring my questions.
Thank you, Christina, for the
Hey,
fun
thanks.
question.
I can't say anyone's ever asked me that before, just so you know. So you're a
Yeah,
first.
that was a new one. That was a new one.
You know me, I'm here to ask the important things. It's
What's your
very
favorite?
important. My favorite's a Carnotaurus.
Carnotaurus.
How to spell
Yeah.
that?
Carnotaurus.
She even knows how to spell. I can't even
Oh,
pronounce it.
the one
Yeah, it's got
from
like.
Jurassic Park 3 that was butting heads with the T-Rex, right?
Yeah, like that one, or better known as the big scary dinosaur on the dinosaur ride at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Oh, yes, he's got like the horns on his head and everything.
Yeah, it's got like all the little horns and stuff.
Nice.
It's kind of like a T-Rex, but different.
So we could take this in a whole different direction and let's ask what were the dinosaurs?
Big lizards, man.
Big lizards.
Where'd they come
Thunderbolt.
from?
Well,
Where'd
thank
they
you very
back to
much.
weapons of
Bye,
God.
guys.
Thank you,
See ya.
Christina. Thank you, Christina.
Thank you.
That's just the thing that Crimson Overtone does to us. They will occasionally break into our podcast and just ask random questions because they're family and they just like to throw us off our game.
Hey, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I forgot. Oh, let's get back to it. We just got through with all your testimony. So you guys are on a certain record label that we are kind of fans of pretty much everyone on that label. How did you guys get affiliated with them?
Rocks or Resurrection or both?
Resurrection.
Aaron reached out to me back in November, I believe, and we kind of talked back and forth, and I held off because we have this relationship with Rocks since 2018, and behind the scenes, Aaron was talking with Rocks, and they came up with a partnership. And after Aaron told me that, then we came on with him. So we have both.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, we absolutely love all the artists on Resurrection Records, and we have this little inside joke that Aaron is like Captain America, like he's assembling the Avengers. So one of the questions I always ask when we do interview someone on Resurrection Records is, which Avengers are you?
Oh no.
What did you say? Which advent Avengers?
Which Avengers? Because we always call
Or which
Aaron Captain
superhero?
America.
Maybe
Yeah.
superheroes. Let's go. We'll go broad.
Okay, which
Spider-Man.
superhero?
Spider-Man.
No, you can't be Spider-Man. You're the Hulk. Hulk smash cables.
That sounds deeply personal.
The cable
Hey, the Hulk is cool too. But ever since I was a kid, man, I always liked Spider-Man.
No,
I
you
got to
can't be
feel that.
Spider-Man. I'm Spider-Man. You can't be Spider-Man. I'm
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
Spider-Man.
All right. Paint me green. I'll be the Hulk. Can I be the Hulk with a white beard?
I have
That'd be
my own names
something
for
new.
these guys
What's that?
because I have my own names for these guys.
Okay.
Oh,
Since for
no.
you.
Well, okay,
Oh, I'm waiting for this one.
so Steve is Gossamer. He's been Gossamer for years.
Is it because of
Jason
the
is Flynn.
flowing gossamer hair? Is
Yes.
it?
And it used to be
No,
red.
Gossamer is the red-headed hairy monster on Bugs Bunny. If
Yes.
you're
Right,
that's
yes.
Oh yeah. The guy with the sneakers.
Yeah, the guy with the
Yeah.
sneakers and all red hair,
Do you have
you
purple and yellow fingernails too?
know.
So then Jason is SpongeBob because
Okay.
the way he laughs, his sense of humor, and he has a SpongeBob shirt that he plays in. And then Leon is Inspector Gadget because his personality, and he always has his flashlight and he has little tools with
He's
him, and
techie.
he's a techie. And then Ed is, and I can never, the Abominable Snowman.
Bumble.
Charlie Abominable
Bumble.
Snowman from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
So I don't know what you would
Misfits.
call all of them, but that's what I call them.
An eclectic
A League of
mix.
Extraordinary Gentlemen.
That's a good movie.
Oh,
That's a
that is
good flick.
awesome.
So another fun question. Here's another fun one that, Jason went with the superhero one. So I'll ask you this. Just to get an idea of like some of your, and you've talked a little bit about it already now, but some of your interests and some of your inspirations. If there was a band that pulled up to you guys' door, pounded on your door, and said, "You're going on tour with us, you can't say no," who would it be?
Iron Maiden.
Good
Solid.
answer. How about you guys?
Led Zeppelin.
That'd be a challenge.
Wouldn't
I
it?
never heard
Wouldn't
that
it? Yeah.
Or can I say Black Sabbath?
band. You
I can bring him out of
could
retirement.
run a list, man. There's a
Yeah.
lot of
Yeah.
bands
Oh,
on
yeah.
list.
In retirement, out, dead or alive, anyone. Who could you not say no to?
Yeah,
Definitely.
I'm kind of with Leon. That's a tough one. For me, it'd probably be Dream Theater, but that's like signing your death warrant because if you open up for a band like that, you're going to get booed off the stage.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mine would definitely be Kiss, for sure.
Very nice. That That would be awesome. I've seen
It'd
them twice. No, three times. Fantastic. What a show. So
be quite the concert with all those bands back, all out of retirement, back together, and the works.
yes.
Or in their
So
prime, even.
now that you guys have the new record out, what comes next for you guys? Is there going to be tour, festivals, playing random shows, showing up on street corners, throwing down the hat and just kind of strumming? What's
World
going on?
domination. World
That's
domination. World domination. Yes.
right.
Taking over.
I'd say we're pretty much focused on Immortal Fest at the moment. So we're playing Immortal Fest on August the 29th.
Okay.
We're going to open that show for that weekend. If you're one of those people that don't come out and check out the opening band, change up your game and get out there early, come check us out. Say hey. I'd love to talk to some new people.
Where's that at?
That's at BMI Event Center in Versailles, Ohio.
Okay.
So it's kind of east central Ohio-ish, kind of
Yeah,
southeast,
if you're
southwest. I'm sorry, west.
where are you guys out of? What state?
Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, Flint,
Flint,
Michigan, that
Michigan.
area.
Okay.
Need to have us
Oh.
up there and do some shows up there. We'd love to come to Michigan.
We are honestly trying to build the scene up here. We just did a show on Friday night, with we had Ignescent, Crimson Overtone, End of I, which is a label, both label mates of yours, and local guy Dusty Bones. And it was fantastic. And we're using that as kind of a
Nice.
springboard and trying to bring more shows to Michigan.
Excellent. So yeah, more to
And
come for
here,
sure. I'll keep us in mind.
to Leon's point, we're working on this the gig coming up, the Immortal Fest. We played there last year, and it was an awesome time. It was a good time of fun and fellowship. And other than that, we don't at this point in time, we don't have anything else on the boards, I don't think. But
We're kind of holding off because Steve's getting ready to have surgery on his shoulder. So once that's all healed up, then we're gonna start looking again.
We'll
In the
have to
meantime, in the
get the
meantime.
power trio together, guys, while Steve's in recovery. We'll call it Weapons of Go.
Oh, that's
I mean,
awesome.
good Lord willing, new opportunities will come our way, hopefully, and just maybe keep writing some fresh tunage, and who knows?
All
Keep
right, very
busy,
nice.
keep constructive.
All right, so unfortunately, we are quickly running out of time. And so, what I want to ask you is if there's one thing that you could share with the Rock for Him listeners that you want them to know about yourselves as a band, what would that be?
For me, I would just say that back to what I had said before. I don't claim to be some kind of great guitar player or great musician or anything else. I'm more gearhead than anything, and I just happen to play. But I do love music, and I just think say thank you to anybody and everybody that's ever taken the time to listen to any music that I've been involved with. I feel, like I said, at this stage of my life, I just feel so very blessed to have the opportunity to get out and play shows still. I went through a phase where I didn't play much at all, kind of like what Ed was talking about earlier. And my wife of almost 30 years bought me a guitar one Christmas and said, "I hope this inspires you to get back into playing music." And I think in some ways she's probably regretted that ever since. Because not only did it re-spark my interest in music, it also got me really interested in gear. So I like guitars, I like amps, I like keyboards, I like drum machines, I dabble in electronic music and samplers and noise and just about all kinds of things. So anytime anybody shows an interest in music that I enjoy or especially that I've been a part of writing, I just count that as a blessing. I'm very, very thankful for that opportunity to share. to share music.
All right. So we are, like I said, we're quickly out of time here. So one thing that we always do for every single one of our guests is we love to pray for you guys. We take it very seriously. We have a thread set up in a chat group between us hosts of Rock for Him, and we pray every single day for you guys. Like,
awesome.
I have a book here that's full of prayer requests. So how can we be praying for you individually and as a band?
I'd like to say, as a manager, photographer, all of that, to soften the Christian world's hearts for Christian metal, because I didn't grow up on metal, and it took being a part of this since 2015 to understand it's not the music, it's the lyrics that makes metal bad in people's eyes. But the Christian world, a lot of it still will not accept us. So that's my prayer, is that the world, their hearts soften so that they see that, okay, we may look the way we do and we sound the way we do, but listen to the lyrics, because that's where our hearts are.
I got to tell you, that is the main mission of Rock for Him. I mean, well, first and foremost, to bring glory to God. But second, we want to show the local pastors that Christian metal is worthy of God, you know, bringing praise and glory to God. Like, honestly, I tell them all the time, would you rather be listening to Weapons of God or Marilyn Manson? Like, take your pick. What would you rather have them? Someone that is clearly, you know, pushing a satanic front, or someone that shows the gospel in their music? And slowly, slowly, we're starting to change hearts and minds. Like, pastor at mine in Rikers Church, I'm constantly playing him Christian metal. Like, if we're hanging out, I'm like, hey, check this out. And he's like, well, it's not my style. I'm like, no, but I guarantee you there's some kid in your youth group that listens to metal. Would you rather have them listening to this where you hear Jesus in it, or would you rather have them listening to something else?
Yeah.
Right, they're going to be listening to metal either way.
Yeah. I'm starting to see those wheels spinning.
We all did, right?
I'd rather have them listen to something with a more, listen to something of a more positive vein, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Something that's actually going to be a benefit to their soul.
Yeah. Right. And I think exactly. To Rochelle's point, you know, I see too many instances where folks are in, you know, competition with each other. When it comes to sharing the gospel by whatever means, you're not in competition. It's a cooperation. Jesus didn't say, you know, in Matthew in the Great Commission to go out and compete for more followers or more this or more that. It's all about building the kingdom collectively. So I think that one of the prayer requests that I would have is that folks, especially in the Christian music industry, but in any, you know, endeavor, to work in cooperation, not in competition. You don't have to, you know, point out other people's faults or, you know, air your grievances in public or even make allusions to them. It's really about that consistent message and cooperation.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, so for me, I would turn this a little more personal, if you don't mind, and I would ask for you guys to pray over my situation and my wife right now. We're in the process of selling a house and buying another house. Fortunately, we're keeping it amongst friends and actually family. So buying my neighbor's house, and his brother is buying my house. And so far, I feel like that is something I've prayed over quite a bit for the last several months. It's been challenging, and then sudden change is a little unnerving at times, especially when I've lived in my current house for 20 plus years, so to just pack up and move is a little weird for me. So, but I think it's the right move, and I think that God is in this and has kind of made this way for us as we've looked at houses for the last 5 or 6 years. And the one we ended up finding, I think that he pointed us to, was right in front of our face the whole time. So I just ask for prayer over that, that everything goes smoothly and that we get resettled so that I can hopefully stop moving and then focus even more on serving God and playing music.
Got
As for myself personally, just prayers over the shoulder surgery that I'm gonna have done in September. It's a lipoma that's they think it's attached to the muscle of my shoulder. So I'm hoping and praying that it's not as serious as they think it is. I'm praying that they could just go in there and just that there's no muscle attachment to it, that they don't have to go too deep into the shoulder. And hope that I'm not out as long as they're saying I'm going to be. So I
For
would,
sure.
that I would ask you all just
Right on.
Absolutely. What about you, Edward?
I would say basically what these guys are touching on, just that we would stay focused. The guy would continue to guide us and mentor us and give us a hedge of protection around all of us and just give us, clarity, mentally, physically, spiritually, and just continue to do what we do. And like Steve said, he's going to have that surgery. I just pray for a very fast healing for him because that's probably going to, how long is that going to be, Steve?
They say I would probably be out for 6 weeks.
It's
So,
amazing what they can do now, though, honestly.
The Lord's still in the miracle business, so hey, hopefully it
he's
won't be
still in
that
command. That's right.
long. All
And
right, guys. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say a quick blessing for you two guys. I mean, what you're doing is really, really cool
indeed.
because
Thank
it
you.
gives us, it gives bands like ours an opportunity to hang out with you and chat with you, and you get to know us a little bit, we get to know you, and keep on doing what you're doing, guys. Rock for
Well,
the
thank
rock.
you.
Indeed.
And
Thank you.
how
Praise.
can we pray for you in return?
Yes.
Honestly, just pray for our ministry. Like I said, we're trying to build the Christian metal scene here in Michigan. We'd love to have more bands up here. And it's not for the lack of bands asking to come up here, it's for the lack of places for them to play. So
Oh,
we're
gotcha. Yes.
lack of band,
so
lack of venues, lack of
lack of
venues.
venues. Yeah.
So.
We're also right now, I think, and God's been very good in blessing us, and we've been going through with, I think, a period of growth right now, and we've been seeing more opportunities. Just that we would have the ability to guide that properly and not lose focus. Because I can get, I mean, me personally, not even speaking for anyone else, but I can get caught up in the moment, in the wave, in the whatever. And so I don't want to ever lose sight of what's important and what we're really working for.
Yep,
True.
there you go.
Absolutely.
There you
All.
go.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and pray us out. So,
Sorry, bro.
great and heavenly Father, I thank you so much for bringing Weapons of God here to us and giving us this opportunity to get to know them, chat with them, and learn a little bit more about them. Lord, I ask that you just watch over Rochelle. Lord, I ask that you just continue to soften hearts around them and up here. Lord, open people's hearts and minds to the fact that Christian metal has value. It brings honor and glory to you, and it's worthwhile. Give them opportunities to be able to play and to bring your message to people. Lord, I ask that you watch over Jason and just put a spirit of cooperation around them, around him, and around all those that they come in contact to. Lord, I ask that you watch over Leon as he prepares to sell his home and purchase another one. Or just make it go smoothly and help him know that everything goes in your timing. So help him have patience with that. Lord, I asked it. You just put a hedge of protection around Steve. Lord, bless him. I ask that you guide the surgeon's hands as they go in and attempt to fix his shoulder in September. Lord, we know that you are the great and wise healer, so please just heal him as quickly as you need to, Lord. But just protect him, protect his heart, and protect all those around him. And as for Edward, Lord, just keep all of them focused, keep him focused on you, give them spiritual clarity, and just give them that desire and drive to keep going in you. Lord, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. In Jesus' holy, precious name, amen.
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 Guys and lady, this was fantastic. Thank you so much. I love doing this. I know you said, thank you to us for doing this. Thank you to you guys. Like, you guys have no idea, for a nerd like me that just loves metal, to be able to talk to the bands that I listen to. Like, I get totally geeked out. Like, after this is over, I'm going to send about 14 messages to Riker and Jeremy. Like, I can't believe we got to talk to these guys. How cool are they? Like, that's like an every week thing. I get completely just like nerded out
That's
about
cool.
this. So thank you guys for allowing me to continue to do this every single week and just
Yeah.
for agreeing to come on.
Right
For
on.
those that are watching and listening, I want to thank you for commenting in the chat, for watching and joining us for, well, an hour now. And I just want to remind each and every one of you that if you're going to rock, rock for him. Have a good night, all those on Facebook.
If you like what you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below, and don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're going to rock, rock for him.
Coming up next week on the Rock for Him podcast, we are honored to talk to Josh Wright and get to know him and his music. Don't forget to tune in.